This chazar is echinach berachas v'shag v'mehudim seches getting daf ayin aleph. Zok the gemara. Rav Hanan and Rav said if a healthy man got married, meaning his marriage is araisa, and then he became a deaf mute. So if he's able to communicate by writing, he may have a get written and given to his wife, and it will dissolve the araisa dika marriage. Rav Yosef asked, this is already learned in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah said that if a mute nods when asked if a get should be written, we test him, but then we write a get for his wife. So we said it in the Mishnah already. Rav Yosef said a mute is considered mentally competent, as clearly can be seen in a braisa. It's a deaf mute who is not, and that's why Rav had to teach his halacha regarding a deaf mute. Rav Zeir said, what I find difficult is, a braisa says that im lo yagid teaches that a mute does not bring a carbon for swearing falsely by nodding to an oath that he does not know testimony. Now, according to Rav, the writing of the mute should be the same as his speaking, and if so, he should be subject to the oath and to the carbon. Rabbi said that halachas of edus are different because the pasuk says mipihem, which teaches that testimony has to be oral, not written. Therefore, the case of written testimony is not equivalent to the spoken. For the Ekdom of Bryce, it says, just as we test a mute regarding a get, we test him the same regarding business transactions, and also for testimony, and also for inheritances. We see that a mute's testimony is accepted. So, Rabbi Yosef, Abin Yubin, and then Rabbi Yosef said, this is referring to testimony regarding the death of a woman's husband, where their Rabbanim were lenient, and therefore accepted their written testimony. However, in other cases, their testimony would not be accepted. For Ekdom of Bryce, says, I believe regarding inheritances, which is their Isa. Rabbi Yosef said, that's referring to the mute making decisions on how to divide his own estate, and therefore it's not a question of real testimony. For Ekdom of Bryce, has said, they believe regarding business transactions, presumably referring to testifying regarding the business transactions of other people. The Mer says, no, it's referring to their own business transactions. Frankly, a braisa says regarding a deaf mute, we don't follow his motions, his mouthing, or his writing regarding gittin. We only accept them regarding movable items, metaltalin. So you see that we don't accept it. Mar says, there's machlok among tanoim. Although this braisa argues on Rav, another braisa agrees with him, because the braisa says, Rishon Lil says, we don't accept his motions, his mouthing, or his writing regarding gittin only if he was a deaf mute. Only if he was always a deaf mute. However, if he was once healthy and then became a deaf mute, he may write a get. If he was always a deaf mute and his marriage was done was even entered into with motions, with mouthing, or with writing, and therefore it's only drabbanon. So his get done in this same way should be acceptable. Where it says he can divorce his wife for the reason stated. What's being discussed here is where Yavama falls to him for Yibam, which is deraisa, and therefore his motions and writing cannot divorce her. What's the case? If his brother who died was also a deaf mute, then the Yavama is also only drabbanon, and his motions, his writing should be sufficient to divorce her. And where it says the case is that the brother who died was a healthy individual, and therefore he had a deraisatic marriage. The brother was also a deaf mute, but we made a gzera that he cannot divorce this yavama, as a gzera so that he not divorce the yavama of his healthy brother. If so, we should make a gzera that he can't divorce his own wife as a gzera. They should not come divorce his healthy brother's yavama. The Torah says we have to be gezer for the case of one yavama to the case of another yavama. We don't have to be gezer for the case of yavama for the case of a wife. We see from the Mishnah that we're not gezer for the case of a deaf mute brother for the case of a healthy brother. If so, we have to use an echanami. We have to use the earlier teret. Rabbi Yochanan said the earlier Braisa argues on Shem Gamliel, and don't think that the earlier Braisa meant to agree with him and should be understood in that way. Abaye said we can see this from a Mishnah, because the Mishnah said, if a husband becomes a deaf mute, he may never divorce his wife. Presumably this means, even if he is able to write his intention to divorce her. This clearly argues on Shem Gamliel, it must be the view of the other Braisa. Papa said, if not for Rabbi Yochanan, we would think that they do not argue, and the Mishnah may mean that even if the deaf mute seems sharp, if he cannot write, he's considered to be mentally incompetent. We can also say that the term never is to be understood according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who says that this means that he cannot divorce deraisa. Zok the Mishnah asked the husband, should we write a get for your wife? He responded, write it. If they then told the sofer to write it and instructed others to sign the witnesses of the get, and they wrote and signed and gave it to the husband, who then turned around and gave it to his wife, the get is batal, because the get is not valid unless the husband himself tells the sofer to write and the witnesses to sign. Reflecting on the Mishnah seems to say that the get is possible because the husband said write it and never said give it. Had he said give it, it would be valid. This means that the Mishnah follows Rav Meir, who says that words may be given over by a shliach to another shliach. However, the Mishnah ends off by saying that the get will only be valid when the husband himself tells the sofer to write and the witnesses to sign. This seems to follow Rav Yosi, who says that words may not be given over by a shliach to another shliach. Seems to be a stira. Moreover, said in Echanam, we have to say the beginning of the Mishnah follows Rav Meir, the end of the Mishnah follows Rav Yosi. Another teretz, Abai said the entire Mishnah follows Rav Meir. The end of the Mishnah discussing where he did not just say give it, but rather said write it as well. And that's why it's possible, because Rav Meir would agree in that case that they cannot delegate the writing and signing to others. If that's true, the Mishnah should say it's possible until he only says give it. Mar says the cases where he was talking to two people, even Rav Meir says that only three people can be instructed to appoint as slave and witnesses, and that's why in this case it's possible. If that's true, the Mishnah should have said it's possible unless the husband is speaking to three people. Rather, we'll have to say the entire Mishnah follows Rabbi Yosi. The reason it's possible in the beginning of the Mishnah is because the husband not specifically instructed people to appoint as slave and witnesses, but if he would have done so, it would be valid if he specifically said to do so. If that's true, the Mishnah should have said it's possible unless the husband specifically instructs him to do so. Second question, also, how can we say that Rabbi Yossi would agree in this case that they may have someone else write the get? The Mishnah says if a Sofer wrote the get and witnesses signed, it's valid. Rabbi Yemi explained this means that if a Sofer wrote and signed and another witness signed with him, the get is valid. Rav Chista said the Mishnah must follow Rabbi Yossi, who says the words cannot be transferred to a shliach, and the husband must have directly asked the Sofer to write the get, because if he asked others who may then appoint the Sofer, they will ultimately allow the Sofer to sign so as not to embarrass him. And since the husband never asked him to sign, the get would be possible. Therefore, to prevent this from happening, the Rabbanim would have to institute that a Sofer may not be a signer on the get. Since that was not instituted, it must be that we're not concerned for the situation, because a Sofer cannot write the get without being specifically told by the husband to do so. If Rabbi Yossi agrees in a case where the husband tells him that they can appoint a Sofer, this concern will still be a concern. From the fact that it's not a concern, it must be Rabbi Yossi does not allow the witnesses to appoint the Sofer, even if the husband told him that they may. Mar says we must answer as we did previously, the beginning of the Mishnah follows Rabbi Meir, the end of the Mishnah follows Rabbi Yossi. Rav Ashi said we can say the entire Mishnah follows the view of Rabbi Yossi, and it should be understood as saying not only this but even that, meaning the Mishnah is saying not only is it possible if the husband did not only say give it but rather added write it, rather even if he did, they may still not appoint a Sofer or witnesses. And not only is this true when there are not three people that he was instructing, rather even if he instructed three people, they may not appoint a Sofer and witness. And not only is this true where he didn't specifically tell them to appoint the Sofer and witness, rather even if he did specifically do so, it's possible. Zogmar, there's a brice that can be approved to Rav Ashi. Why? The brice says if the Sofer wrote a get lishma and the witnesses signed lishma, and they wrote it, signed it, and gave it to the husband, who then gave it to his wife, it's possible until the Sofer and witnesses heard the husband's voice, so that he told the Sofer write and the witnesses to sign. The Gemara says when the Braise says until they heard, that comes to exclude the view that says that Rabbi Yossi agrees that they may appoint a Sofer and witnesses when explicitly told to do so. When the Braise says his voice, it comes to exclude the Kahana named Rav, who says that a deaf mute can communicate in writing to divorce his wife.